everyone, and welcome back. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 306. In today's episode, I'm going to take a two-part question that I got, and we're going to discuss another troubleshooting thing, and that is how to manage, how to work with, how to make adaptations to having either a somewhat fearful dog or a somewhat disinterested dog in training whatever the stuff that you're training them for. So we're going to break that down and at least get everybody to think about it maybe in a little bit more analytical way. But I'll use hunting dog or retrievers. It can be anything in dogs that are gotten because they do stuff, whether it's herding cattle or whether it's duck hunting or it's ptarmigan hunting, whatever it is you're doing. You know, when you got a dog for some kind of purpose or you just like to compete, which a lot of people who listen to this are. So the assumption is, okay, this dog is going to really want to do this and really work with me. But sometimes, just like with humans, some of these guys have other issues going along, whether it's an organic mental thing, you know, they have a thing like some people do, or whether they had an experience that they're carrying with them that made them either very afraid or fearful. So I'm going to talk about that. To do anything in terms of working with a dog and getting a dog to perform a function, they need to have a certain level of interest in the task. So we're not going to go get a teacup poodle to guard our junkyard, right? It probably isn't real interested in that or even be able to kind of grasp that. It's just going to be running around in the junkyard looking for mice and doing whatever teacup poodles do. So assume you need to get a dog that is supposed to have, you know, fundamentally, genetically, an interest. So if we're going to go hunt birds, you get a breed of dog that, you know, really likes to hunt birds. Or if you want a dog that retrieves all your birds well for you, then get one of the retriever breeds and go do that. But along those lines, all of those dogs have a varying level of interest, right? Just like some people. Some people enjoy playing the piano and some people live for it. And it's the same thing with the dogs. We can, in our interactions or in life experiences, build upon that interest level or actually diminish it by things that we do. But the dog's desire to go do whatever it is we're trying to train them to do has to be greater than the difficulty or challenge of the training. Okay? So, you know, to get dogs to go do blind duck and goose retrieves in bitter cold and icy water, they gotta, you know, to be able to train them to do that, they gotta like getting that duck or goose in their mouth more than they dislike having to go through all the double T and the swim by and learning to go and learning to stop and learning to take casts and all that stuff. So they have to, that's just like a given. That's like a, you know, sort of like one of the laws of physics. They have to like what they're doing more, ultimately, than the challenge of the training. Just like football players, you know. A football player has to enjoy playing football, having the crowds cheering and scoring and all that stuff, more than they dislike practice every day. And it's the same thing with dogs. So that's, be aware of that. Now we got several factors. You got a dog that is has a moderate interest in it, and so if you can't train them, you can't drive them and demand as much or ask as much. If it's that is going to be more unpleasant than enjoying the other stuff. So be aware of that stuff. If you once had the easiest dog in the world to train, this is so good. That's how I started. I looked into getting into the retriever stuff from the obedience and all that world that I came from with someone who could get top quality field trial dogs. And so the first bunch of dogs I trained and owned, you know, they were like really good. So of course I thought I was really good trainer. And then, as I've told many times on here, when I got more normal dogs, I found out that I was absolutely not a good trainer at all, because I had had a dog that had an extraordinarily high desire to do the work and was more than happy to go through anything to do it. So those dogs are easier to train. What makes you ultimately wind up really understanding this whole thing is when you got to train the one that I kind of like it, but not if you're going to get too demanding. So that's a little bit of an issue. Similarly, for dogs who have a little bit of a fearful response to things. Now, this could come from, it's just the way that little dog is wired in the brain and the heart. You know, everything is a potential danger. And you can work with that and change that a little bit, but it's there. You cannot just train it out of them, just like we can't train you out of disliking German cars. You know, I mean, if you have a deal, you have a deal. That's a weird example, but you know what I'm talking about. So with the fear-based thing, it would be nice to know, is this dog, you know, if you get a little puppy and it's always afraid and it's always the last one and it doesn't want to leave the whelping room and it doesn't want to be away from the other dogs and it doesn't want to go on the walk with you, and it just because it's afraid of everything, that means that the fear is greater than the enjoyment of participation in the other stuff, and certainly is greater than the interest in training and performing a function. So the fear is greater than the interest. So you have to change that balance, just like on a dog with mild interest in doing the hunting work. Then you have to change the balance and make the dislike of the training and the hard stuff has got to be less than the enjoyment of what they're doing. That's just the plain algebra of that situation. That's the same as gun-shy dogs. People often have a lot of problem with gun-shy dogs. That's something you can ward off from the beginning by, I'm not saying 100% every time. Maybe some dogs, loud noises just always going to scare them. I mean, they came that way and they'll always be that way. But many times it's acquired. And the last thing that I personally would ever do, which is always recommended, is bang pots and pans when they're eating and doing all this stuff. people say it works. I mean, do it. But I bet the dog, I mean, that's like, here, when you're having one of the highlights of your day, I'm going to really make it obnoxious. Instead, the way to keep fear out of that, the gun-shy thing, is to first create, now I'm going to give the retriever deal here, first create a great passion, or as much as they can, for the act of retrieving. Get that up there. Then, starting at a distance, before you ever move closer, associate this thing they love so much and that loud noise. So how we do it with little puppies is you get them where they just really love retrieving by doing very few, not very many. By doing where they just love it and they're like, no, don't put it away, let's go. You could get real excited. Okay, then you teach them by having somebody throw for them. So they are used to looking out and somebody's checking the puppy bumper or whatever you're using. And of course, then you got to teach them to come back to you, not the thrower, but that's not too hard. Okay, and then you have them with a little, like a 22, you know, or a cap gun, I don't care, a little pistol with primers in it, out there, far away, you shoot. And then, I'm not going to go through all that. I have other podcasts on that. You shoot, then you throw it and they go get it. And then within one or two sessions, they know when they hear that noise that they get to retrieve. And then you can get up out of the primer pistol, you know. Eventually you get where you can shoot over them with 12 gauges, right? Because anything to get the bird. So don't create gun shyness. And the way you do that is be having the desire to go get that bird greater than their concern with a loud noise. And that, you know, I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. It's just very, very doable. You don't overwhelm them. You don't do it right by them while they're eating, for heaven's sake. Just teach them that sound means you get to go and do the thing you love so much. So that's how you prevent that kind of problem. If sometimes dogs develop fears from other kind of things, and so your job is to identify what that is, and then you change the balance. You change the balance between the training part and the enjoyment part. And the enjoyment of this always has to be a little bit more than the training part. So the fear thing is find things that they love and then get that love and passion more excitable than they're, you know, having to sit still or be somewhere around it or something like that. On the disinterest thing is, again, they have a certain interest level, and sometimes you can make that a little bit more. And the way you increase the interest level, I don't care if it's a 10-week-old puppy or a 2-year-old dog, the way that you increase the interest in something is by not putting all the rules in there. Let's just say that you have a dog. I'm going to use retrieving stuff because most hunting dogs retrieve. Your dog has a mild interest in retrieving, okay? So the last thing you want to do is make them be steady, make them sit or stand or whatever you do, have some rules, have it, somebody out there make this kind of a, you know, like you're going into a class that you just don't like. So you take away anything that detracts from that one thing that they're going to do. So if you want them to get a big interest in retrieving, there's a number of things you can do. Sometimes you got to be creative. You know, and don't do it with another dog. Because if you take a dog with mild interest and take it out with a dog with a high interest, what the mildly interested dogs learn is, hey, that other one will do all the work. Just chase them around. That's fun. And usually that's what you get. They don't go, oh, look how much fun he's having. I think I'll try that. They're just going, good, you do the work. I'll chase you around because I don't really like that anyway. So if you want to increase the desire in retrieving, have it just be between the two of you. Do it in a place that's fun. Do it with no rules. They don't have to be steady. Get them all excited. Hey. But it has to be genuine. I've told so many people, all right, get them all excited. Get your voice going. And they're going, hey. It's like, I can't. That's not going to work because it's already making me want to go sit down. So get them genuinely excited. Got to be authentic because we do want them excited. So you be excited. And make it easy and make it fun and make it just be a couple times and then stop. And then do it again. Don't use food. Food does not make them love retrieving more. Learning what fun retrieving can be makes them like retrieving more. I had one little brown dog one time. It really had no interest. Bumper, bird, it was like, I don't really care. And we took a bunch of quail, I believe, out. And one at a time, my ex just threw them up in the air and shot them. Dog just licking. Got another one out. Threw it up in the air. It's flying. Shot it. Dog stood up going, And 12 of them. It took 12. Now, granted, that's kind of expensive. 12 has a little quail. She started going out there and getting one. And then the next time we just had him throw one of the dead ones. And then she went out and got it. After that, and this is, I'm not kidding, after that, she retrieved everything. I don't know. That's expensive. It was weird. Most people can't or won't do something like that. But all of a sudden, something broke through in that little dog. And she went, you know, I like this. It took death of birds and many of them and total leaving her be. I wasn't making her sit. I just made sure she was facing that direction, could see it. And then suddenly, and she got her certified pointing retriever title. Well, I might add. And so it took that. That meant there was a much higher level of interest in retrieving in that dog, but it had never been brought out. So, puppy people, Bring that out in your dog. And again, it's not by doing 20 retrieves, it's by doing 3. And make them just die and want more. And if they're only mildly, the more mild their interest, the more no rules there are. Once you start to get the interest in there, you can slowly begin to require that they sit still and that they watch. But if you're imposing rules dampens their desire, then we got to quit imposing rules. It just works that way, whether you want to do it or like it or not. And so same thing with the fear dog, the dog that's afraid of stuff. What you want to do when you're anywhere associated with something that frightens them, say it's being around a lot of other people, just really unnerves them. Then what you want to do is have them around other people, not in the environment ultimately you want to be in. If it's training for hunting stuff, then let's not go into a hunting kind of environment and get them around a lot of people. Because let's just take one thing at a time. They're worried about a lot of people. So let's go places where there's a lot of people and not do work at all. You know, take them to the PetSmart and walk through the store, you know. And they might be afraid and all that. You need to be as opposed to worried and concerned and supportive and encouraging. Just go. If you just go like, okay, we're in the store. I got to pick up some cat litter and a dog biscuit box or something. And so take them in there. You are just like, this is the most normal thing in the world. And pretty soon they begin to, because that's just always how it is, it begins to become more normal for them. And it doesn't associate with a big training group or hunting with people, but it does associate with you two doing something and everything's fine, even if there's a lot of people around. You break it down to one thing at a time. And then after you do the PetSmart thing, let's go do the Walmart parking lot. Just don't get run over. That's a task. Go different places where there's people. And this takes time. You can't solve this in like 2 weeks. Here's your fix. You've got to do the work. It's very hard when you're dealing with fear and disinterest. You got to put in the time and the effort. And the more energy and time and effort you put into it, usually the more you get out of it, as with all things. So take them different places. And then pretty soon, you know, when they start to relax a little bit, just, not again, we're still not out. Go take your walk in the hunting environment, in the field and stuff like that. Do some, I don't know, a retriever two with them. Get them out there. But now get them, go back to these places where there's other people and let's do something fun. If you need to use food in the beginning, every time we're in a big group of people, I'm going to give you a little bacon bit here. Yeah, see, it's good stuff until you don't have to anymore. A lot of things, but your emotion needs to be what you want the dog's emotion to be. Just relaxed and regular. Ah, here we are. And with consistency, assuming that they don't have some organic problem that you're not addressing, then eventually they can relax. And then slowly you begin to associate this with, maybe they can walk around this area carrying a bumper in their mouth. The crowded, you know, the PetSmart, just carrying a bumper. So it's like, oh, here we got this training thing. We're walking around all these people. And you just sort of work that in on them in a real relaxed stage. Until pretty soon they're so used to whenever we go do stuff and there's a lot of people, we're always okay. And the fear sort of begins to just back away and just sort of go hide in the corners and hopefully maybe go away forever. And slowly and with building trust in this dog, because a dog that is fearful has no trust other than I trust everything's going to be terrible. And they have to believe in you and how you are and that the world is the way you're portraying it. And to do that takes a lot of time and not rushing anything or trying to do two things at one time on a fear-based dog. And the same thing with the dog with mild amount of interest. If let's say they have a real mild amount of interest in retrieving. So, you know, do it maybe it's like in the morning when they get up after they air, you know, and they're very fresh and all that. Just do a couple retrieves down the hallway and then they get breakfast or, you know, just something. So just that was fun. And then just do that every morning. If it works in the morning, find where it works. If you go out in the backyard and they air out and stuff and you toss a couple things and they go, Maybe I'll get it. What you don't want to do on this stuff when they have that interest is you don't want to keep trying. If something isn't working, stop doing it. So if you're throwing stuff and they don't really show any interest, stop throwing stuff. Sometimes I've done this. This is interesting. Sometimes with retrievers, when I had a dog on, I'd throw something on land and it was like, yeah, so what are you going to do with that? I'm just going, you're supposed to get it, dog. But if I throw it 4 feet out in the water, they went out and got it. So, right, I'm not following this regime. This is what you do with a disinterested dog. I'm just going, I got to find some way to make this interesting to this dog. And sometimes if I threw it in the water, they'd go get it. So then for the next few weeks, the only retrievers were all in water. You know, and then I'd do one in the water. No rules, right? No rules. They can be just, I'll get them all, get the woo-hoo, let's go, dog, come on. And throw it in the water and then do the same thing again and throw it right on the land. And they just are caught up in the momentum of enjoying it and they went and got it. Okay, quit right there too. It's like, how many more can I throw before you quit retrieving again on land? I just stopped right there. And then did the same thing a few more times until I could throw it on the land and they would go get it. So I found out some way that worked with that dog to get the interest in retrieving up. The one I'm referring to, well, I've done that water thing actually a fair amount of times. Sometimes I'll get a frozen checker out. And, you know, maybe that's just a little more intriguing. For some dogs, it is. I do not get a duck out because that is the stinkiest of the training birds. So I try to get the upland birds are always a little quail. You know, just something that is compelling or interesting to them, and they don't really know why. Try that a little bit. Shoot, I'll throw a frozen chucker in the water. It's going to ruin it, but anything. Let's see if we can get this dog to do something. Again, I have never... The only time I use another dog is when a dog is a little bit hesitant about getting in the water, you know, because it's weird. Some dogs, it's like, whoa, the ground's gone. What's happening? And they get real scared. So I'll get out another dog that would cliff dive to go get something in the water and just throw a bumper out there. And this dog is running out there and getting in and coming back. And it just seems so compelling to that. What the little guys do, the fearful ones, is they sit there and wait for the dog to get to the edge and then they grab the bumper out of their mouth. That's why I have a very mature dog that knows its job if I do this. You know, and it's like, that's okay. You know, I'll throw two out there. I'll throw one and I'll throw it longer for the dog that's good at retrieving, and I'll just dump one 3-4 feet off the shore, you know, like, ah, that's yours. And eventually that's useful in terms of teaching a dog, look at how much this guy loves it. There's got to be something going on. Again, I've never had that work with retrieving because they go, cool, he'll go get it. I'll chase it, grab it out of his mouth. That's the game. So I've never had that. You know, maybe somebody listening has, you know, and then I stand corrected. But I've never seen that work. But again, I got to get the interest level above the fear. And I have to, and it's not always the same way. I have just had all kinds of funny things. I've never done the food thing, mostly because I just don't have dog treat kind of food around. But I don't want the dog to go after anything because it can eat it, because that certainly is not true with birds. But maybe there's been some dogs where then they put peanut butter inside of something, they would go pick it up. I don't know. I guess that would be one way of doing it, but just you got to get the food out of there as soon as you can, because this is not something that you get to go and eat. So, okay, fear and disinterest. In some ways, they're very similar. Although the fear one, you know, there's a lot more reaction. With the disinterest, there's not any reaction. In the fear, there's a reaction. So you have to create something to replace that. You have to create some kind of trust and interest in something and then slowly work on that. So now we got the interest and the trust up and the fear down, and then we can move forward in terms of teaching them different things. And in the mildly interested, you have to you have to find some way to get the most out of that you can. And you've got to be kind of crazy and kind of creative. Understand that balance. That's the key. You know your dog. Right? Find a way if you can. You know, find a way, and they're not always the same. But what you want to do is throw the rules out, because again, the interest has to be greater than the burden of having to follow the rules. It just has to be greater. And as that goes up, then you can increase the rules that you are starting to apply to this dog. On the fear thing, you know, you need to really, really teach that dog how to handle the world and whatever it is it's afraid of. Not by forcing him to do it, not by where they're most, whatever it is they're mostly fearful about, find a similar kind of a situation elsewhere, not where you're going to be training or needing them to be, and slowly and patiently let them see, okay, there's nothing to be afraid of here at all. Just not at all. And it takes some time, and it takes you, I'm going to say this again, not being fearful, not being worried, not being reactive, just being just cool and calm, like everything in the world is great. And when they feel that in you, at least it makes it easier for them to begin to open themselves to that. So it's just an algebraic equation. Fear needs to be less than it was. That is, trust has to be greater. Confidence has to be greater than the fear, and it takes a while to move that. And on the disinterest, it's that the interest has to be greater than the burden of training, and work on only one thing at a time, and find a way without rules at all to increase that interest and get creative. There's probably a zillion more ideas, you know, than the stuff that I've come up with over the years. But it's really that balance that you have to change. And some dogs are just going to be fearful, just like some people are that way. And unless you drug them, that's going to be their nature. That's not a large number. But understand, it's real, and you can't just train it out or make it go away. And the disinterest, too. Some dogs, some retrievers, have very little to no interest in retrieving. I had a litter of puppies out of a national champion and a dog that we had in for training. And only one dog in that litter ever really liked retrieving. One. So, you know, that was odd. I've rarely seen that. But it just goes to show that sometimes believe what you see. But find out if what you're seeing is absolutely to the core. So some dogs don't want to go hunt a bird. If there's stickers or something, I'll do this, the sticker thing. I got to do that. The stickers are tough ground thing. You ever seen a dog that's really good, and then you go somewhere where the ground's rough, and they're like, whoa, I don't think I can work through this field. That's another place where I have always taken dogs and trained them where the cactus is. And there are even, I don't like sand burrs, but burrs and goat heads and stuff, where they learn about that, and they learn how to avoid those things. Sand burrs, that can really be a pain, but they learn how to avoid that, and they can run marks through fields with pear cactus in it, because they learn how to look while they're running and go over it. So instead of letting that, you know, well, I can't take him out here, the ground's hurting his feet. Teach them how to deal with that from the very beginning, you guys. Walk them through the icky stuff. So one, they know the most fun in the world is out here. Sometimes it hurts though, but if you be careful of this and that and look out for it. Or if you get a sticker in your foot, let them learn to pull it out themselves. Yes, that's hard. I realize that. But even my own dachshund, she's out running around chasing stuff and gets a sticker, stops, rips it out of her paw, and then takes on going again. And so can every retriever in the world, unless obviously they get into a bunch of where it's a little bit of a mess. But don't let the ground's hard, I can't hunt. Again, that's a balance. The desire to hunt has to be greater than my feet hurt. Teach them how to deal with that so they can manage and not step in every sticker and then just freeze up. So that's all the training. It's that balance between the interest and the difficulty of carrying out the task. And so just help them learn all the ways to carry out the task. So that's today's half hour. I hope that answers some of the questions on the dogs that show peculiar traits when you're trying to do stuff with them. That's one of the ways, best ways to get through that. At least think about it that way, and it might help you come up with some more solutions. And know that you can prevent gun shyness just by having that balance where the desire to go get something is greater than any noise associated with it. And matter of fact, the noise then becomes part of the temptation. So that's why we need steady to wing and then steady to shot, because gun, yes, go get it. That's today's. I hope everybody's doing well. I will continue on the questions and the troubleshooting if I can. Hope everybody is having a wonderful spring, and I will be back next week.